This is a fellowship of love, a time of communion. Even as the banquet the other night, it was so good to see all this gratitude and encouragement for one another. One of the most important things that you and I can do to the brethren is to consider others, how to call forth out of them love and good works. That's true within the fellowship, that's true at work, that's true, of course, in the home. And so one thing I have attempted to do a few times is to reaffirm the things that your pastor loves about this church. So your assignment, some of you have heard this before. I don't do this because I'm senile, but this needs to be reaffirmed. The wife needs to hear the husband tell her again and again why he loves her, why he's thankful for her. Children need to have confirmed repeatedly what the parents see that is good in them. And so it's a good thing to repeat this. Now, if somebody could fill in all the blanks, maybe we've accomplished here what we needed to in this presentation. But I think there's some new people and some others who might find it beneficial for me to go through this. But the topic is 10 things your pastor loves about this church. We read in Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Indeed, that text begins this way. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in prayer, every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. As I have told you through the years, so I now repeat. Here are 10 reasons why I love and am thankful for you. Number one, you love truth. Psalm 119 and verse 97 says, Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. And so here are some of the topics that we cover here, the ways that we exercise our longing for truth. What is the role of government in our lives? What is the truth concerning taxation and our submission to the laws? What does the Bible teach about war, liberty, guns, abortion, marriage, love, responsibility, manliness, femininity, health, finances, birth control, school, submission, music, clothing, movies, games, food, drink, language, missions, sovereignty, free will, sin, depravity, charity, mercy, law, damnation, heaven, hell, angels, demons, gospel, Calvinism, baptism, miracles, tongues, ecumenism, liberalism, translations, separation, on and on the list could go. But the question in all of this, and so many more, is this. What saith the Scriptures? Boy, I love this church. Number two, you desire purity. The Bible says in 1 John 3:3, this is such a profound verse. And every man, note, every man that hath this hope, what is this hope? the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. Every man that hath this hope, seeing Christ, every man that hath this hope in Him, purifieth himself. Even, that's the goal, that's the standard, even as Jesus Christ is pure. And so you ask, how do I conquer lust? I wonder how many inquiries I've had like that over the years. Discreet ones by email, maybe it's personal meetings, but it's a question many people consider and they work with because they long for purity. How do I purge my home? Here is this artwork, and here is that music, and here is this literature, and on from other religions or other heritages. How do I purge my home? Or how do we rectify our past, the sinful past? I have many things of which I am ashamed. How do I resolve and move forward? How do I rectify my past? How do we guard innocence? What do we allow our sons or our daughters or others to be, ourselves, to be exposed to? How do we overcome flirting? How do I dress not to defraud? To defraud is to incite interest in another person that cannot be legitimately satisfied. How do we carry out courtship? How do we find full forgiveness? How do I gain fellowship with Christ? How do we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? Number three, you are teachable. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. A key element of a vibrant church is teachable people. I went back and reviewed some of my sermon titles. It's a compliment to you that I can present these sorts of things because I know you want to be taught. How to self-govern. How to be thankful. How to serve Christians. How to choose a church. How to interpret tragedies. How to do a work for God. How to know you are saved. How to pray when in trouble. How to have the right priorities. How to reach people where they are. How to confess iniquities of forefathers. Number four, you act on what you learn. The Bible warns, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18. So we must act on what we learn. If we are taught we are to be accountable, then find an accountability partner. If a person has trouble with his language or with what he sees with his eyes or what he thinks in a certain area or a certain something to drink or something eating or something else, then find an accountability partner and confess and support one another. Is hospitality a good thing? Then invite people over. Husbands are supposed to cherish their wives. Then bring her flowers. Can I hear an amen? You know it's biblical to be prompt. Find a way to be prompt. Is rock music wrong? Get it out of the house. Should I forgive? Then memorize the steps. We've gone through this many times. How to release anybody, whatever their offense. We can find a way to forgive fully. And we should. You see a need? Meet it. You hear the word? You want to hear the word? Get it on audio. You want to be reconciled? Then go to the offended party. Be a servant. And do servant things. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I love this church because they hear, believe, and then act. And number five, you are willing to sacrifice. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God has seen our people rise early, fast, memorize scripture. If you only knew how many people here are regularly disciplining themselves in that area. The person I was watching this very morning working on memorizing. Humble themselves, change their diet, devote hours to service. People were over here yesterday serving. Pray hard. Remove the TV. Invest in children. Be keepers at home. Mothers with young children. Forgo pleasures. Honor commitments. Travel long miles. Give valued possessions. Lose friends. Chair committees. Endure ridicule. Receive rebuke. Defer rewards. None of the list goes. You're willing. I'm so thankful we have a church of people who are willing to sacrifice. And number six, you are courageous. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You've had the difficult conversation. You have disciplined when necessary. You have acknowledged failings. There are many private phone, not many, but occasional private phone calls. Somebody will call and say, I said this, but in all honesty, that wasn't true. And I'm calling to tell you what truth is. It takes courage as we acknowledge our failings. We have maintained the standard, refused to attend where others may feel freedom to go, witnessed as God has led. You know, these caterers that we had here the other night, I had the opportunity to sit down with the lead caterer to give her the check and so on. And I took the opportunity, I said, are you folks born-again Christians? And she said, well, Christians, but I'm not sure about the born-again part. But I said, well, we've got some literature right here. And pass it on to them. You've witnessed as God has led. You've been willing to stand alone. You've gone door to door when asked. You've separated from compromise. And number seven, I am thankful for this church because you love each other. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 1, everyone that loveth him, that is God, him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Everyone does. So that's a litmus test of true salvation, the love we have for the brethren. We read in 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4:12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Number eight, you encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke and call forth unto love and to good works. All that is in us, and it takes a person who has considered us to help draw it out of us. That's called encouragement. We're looking for the kind of encouragement that comes from higher standards, greater zeal, more spiritual power, more disciplined kids, more thorough courtesy, more team dedication, swifter deference, brighter countenances, sweeter spirits, heightened compassion, profounder dignity, increasing inner beauty, deeper insights, kinder words, encouragement. Number 9, you are gracious to each other. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends." We are all sinners. We are very flawed people. There's an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. We all have need to grow. We all make lots of mistakes. We think things we shouldn't think. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We don't think, say, and do things that we should. And we need to understand this reality. We're not winking the sin when we say this. We're not justifying of it. We're not staying in that situation. But it is a reality that we are imperfect. We're not to wink at sin, but we are to be swift to show grace. You have shown yourselves to be swift to show grace. You have shown respect for the following counsel. 1 Peter 4:8, "And above all things, have fervent love." I remind you, that word fervent means boiling hot. Fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And finally, I am thankful for this church, Grace Baptist Church, because your love will continue to grow. Of this I am hopeful. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Note, it's the Lord who makes us to increase and to abound in love one toward another, toward all men. Because of your response to God's grace in the past, I am hopeful the Lord will make you to increase and abound in love one toward another in the future. Even as we do toward you. Even as I do toward you. So if you have your phones and you want to take a picture, I'm going to list those 10 expressions here on one page. Things I love about Grace Baptist Church. You love truth. You desire purity. You are teachable. You act on what you learn. You are willing to sacrifice. You are courageous. You love each other. You encourage each other. You are gracious to each other. And your love will continue to grow.